Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, August 15th, 2015. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Kip Stube. Here are our top stories this evening. The Harare City Council is looking for farms near Zimbabwe's capital for the resettlement of hundreds of people who have been displaced following the demolition of illegal housing structures.
We have spoken to the government through the Ministry of Local Government that they should give us some adjusted farms so that we can expand the Harare.
The Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species, or CITES, says it is intensifying the conservation of wild animals as poachers continue wreaking havoc in most countries.
We are treating and encouraging states to treat wildlife crime as a serious crime. That is a serious crime in the same way as we treat illicit trade in narcotics or trafficking in persons or in arms.
And today we'll bring you the music of Nkosi Ndlovu, who is using music to promote community development. These stories and much, much more coming up. The Harare City Council is looking for farms near Zimbabwe's capital for the resettlement of hundreds of people who have been displaced following the demolition of illegal housing structures. Local councillor Peter Moyo of Southerton suburb says the Brook Council will need to find strategic partners to develop the farms. He tells Studio 7 thousands of people are looking for decent houses in the city with a population of 2 million.
Those people who are law-abiding citizens, they will be accorded the opportunity to get a stand of their own, which is not dubious, like what has been happening. If everybody follows council procedures, they will be given the opportunity to own a house, they will be given an opportunity to have a stand of their own, which is properly done. Not this way of doing things in a haphazard manner.
So now, how do you think you are going to do it since you have got a housing backlog? Can you give us some insight of, you know, how many people are on the housing waiting list and how you are going to tackle this kind of problem?
Currently, roughly, I think we have about 500,000 people who are on our housing waiting list. We have spoken to the government through the Ministry of Local Government that they should give us some adjusted farms so that we can expand the Harare. But unfortunately, it is taking too long. We were promised about 23 farms which are adjusted to Harare so that we can expand the Harare. All those people who are going to follow the proper procedure of acquiring a stand, they will be accorded the opportunity to get to own one. We want our people to understand that we have got the constitutional right to govern our cities properly, and it gives everybody an opportunity to own a house, irrespective of your political affiliation.
We know that the Harare City Council is actually broke. So if you are given these farms by government, how are you going to service them? Where are you going to get the money from?
What we are going to do, we are going to have these private partnerships. We are actually in motion to do that. We are inviting companies, those companies with their workers, to build the houses for their workers, and we are also going to give the private developer, well-established private developers, who will also engage the banks like FBC, CAPS, and what have you, to actually assist the council. Because on our own, honestly, we cannot afford to do anything.
That was Harare City Councillor Peter Moyo speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. At the same time, some residents of Wilksgrove Farm in the outskirts of Bulawayo were said to have illegally settled on a farm owned by a brick modding company are now stranded following the demolition of their homes. At the same time, some residents of Wilksgrove Farm in the outskirts of Bulawayo were said to have illegally settled on a farm owned by a brick modding company are now stranded following the demolition of their houses. We spoke to Pastor Albert Chitinda of Christian Faith Fellowship Church about the displaced people, who include hundreds of children and women.
The people were dumped along the street and some in the bush. After some time, we managed to send them back, just helping them to carry their belongings. After the lawyer intervened and a date was put forward for the hearing of the case in court. So at the moment, although they are back, but there's no roof over their head. There is no food. Things were scattered about. Some have lost blankets. Where we are here, that's where they destroy the chickens, the ducks, the dogs, and they killed deliberately. I have taken one to Central Hospital, from Central Hospital to Ingucheni. He's detained there. Another guy, right as I'm talking about now, I came through, passed it through. He's also now confused, and tomorrow I'll take him to the hospital. Most likely they'll again detain him at Ingucheni Hospital. This is how bad the situation is.
So now, are you supplying any food to these people and clothing and some kind of, you know, any kind of assistance that you're giving?
I've got bits and pieces, cabbages, mealy meal, but which is not enough. Like tomorrow we'll be distributing 77 blankets, which we received from World Vision. That's all they could get, and nothing further. They showed me the warehouse is empty. There is no food. I remember some children fainting soon as they came back from school to find there was no home any longer. And they asked me, they said, Pastor, does it mean to say that these people are going to build us a better home? I said, no.
That was Pastor Albert Chitinda of Christian Faith Fellowship Church speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. Direct from Washington, the voice of America, VOA. The Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species, or CITES, says it is intensifying the conservation of wild animals like lions, elephants, pangolins, and others as poachers continue wreaking havoc in most countries. CITES Secretary General John Scanlon says there is a marked decrease in elephant populations in most countries. He speaks to Studio 7 about efforts being made to combat wildlife crime in many countries, including Zimbabwe.
The number of elephants is estimated to be somewhere in the order of 400,000 to 500,000 elephants across their range. What we've seen in particular is decreasing populations in Central Africa, Eastern Africa, Southern Africa, not so much. Western Africa, we've seen significant declines. So it's a little bit site-specific. Overall, we've continued to see the trends being such that the level of killing is exceeding the level of natural birth, so we're in overall decline. The poaching levels are far too high. They have leveled off a little bit, so the trends are not as steep as they were, but they're leveling off at far too high a level, at a level that's completely unsustainable. So there are ongoing efforts here. We are treating and encouraging states to treat wildlife crime as a serious crime. That is a serious crime in the same way as we treat illicit trade in narcotics, or trafficking in persons or in arms, and to deploy the same sorts of tools, techniques, and penalties that are used to combat other serious crimes, to use these tools, techniques, and penalties to combat wildlife crime, because that's what's needed, especially when you're up against the organized criminal gangs and rebel militia we're confronting here.
Now, in the countries like Zimbabwe, where there are serious shortages of resources, how do you implement that kind of thing?
We are doing what we can to help countries build capacity, access resources. We have created the International Consortium on Combating Wildlife Crime, a joint initiative of the CITES Secretariat, Interpol, UN Office of Drugs and Crime, World Customs Organization, and World Bank. And we are accessing resources from the Global Environment Facility and from the World Bank and other multilateral and bilateral donors to offer assistance to countries, in particular frontline assistance, be it rangers in the field, be it police, be it customs, helping them develop the sort of skills they need to combat serious organized crime, such as controlled deliveries, where it's a technique used to combat other serious crimes where you don't seize the contraband, you track the contraband to find where it's going, you better resource rangers, you provide better access to forensic skills, etc. But the point you make is a legitimate one. Countries have stretched resources, and so we're putting great effort into providing additional technical, human and financial resources to countries to combat these serious crimes.
That was John Scanlon, Secretary General of the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species, or CITES, speaking with Studio 7 from Geneva, Switzerland. His views were echoed by Sally Wayne Pittman of Zambezi Society.
At the current rate of deterioration that we're seeing, for example, with elephants in the Zambezi Valley, if we're not careful, we're going to wake up in 10 years and there's not going to be any elephants here anymore.
So now, is there any kind of, relationship that we have with the government in terms of trying to protect these wild animals?
Indeed. Organizations like ourselves are working quite closely, very closely, in fact, with the authorities. We are fortunate in Zimbabwe that we have a very proactive Parks and Wildlife Authority that is to work with the private sector. For example, the issue with our elephants, already had two workshops in the affected areas that we formed working committees with the Parks and Wildlife Authority with planning to try to work out what to do about the situation. Of course, nothing can be done unless we have funding for this.
That was Sally Wayne Pittman of Zambezi Society speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. It's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. On the Women's Forum tonight, we caught up with one Zimbabwean woman who was based in the UK but decided to return back home to find out what business opportunities lay in store for her. We take a journey with her on how she set up her business in Zimbabwe. Welcome to the program. You can go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us what your company is all about.
My name is Florence Chaudhuri. It's been a pleasure to be invited to be interviewed by Marvelous. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Like I said, my name is Florence Chaurura. On Facebook, my name is Florence Mudoni Chaurura. I am the managing director of a company called WinFit Services. I've lived in the United Kingdom. Like right now, I'm in the United Kingdom. I've lived here for over 18 years. So in 2012, I decided to relocate. I've got two adult children and a husband, and Mrs. Chaurura. So in 2012, staying in the UK for such a long time, I wanted to reconnect with home. And so I gave myself a challenge, packed my bags, and went to Zimbabwe for 12 months in 2012. So I had my ideas that I wanted to go and implement in Zimbabwe. I just wanted to do some beauty line and some training. And so when I got there, I tried to put myself out there to start my businesses that I had in mind. But I realized that the terrain was different and what I wanted to start wouldn't work at that point. So I needed to survive for the 12 months. I'd given myself that challenge. So I went out, I started doing some personal development training for different companies. And what made me do that was, first of all, to survive. I needed money to buy fuel. I needed money to pay for food and everything to the companies. And I told them who I was and what I could do for them in terms of training. So I got businesses here and there. And one of the things that I discovered at that point was, this is what I needed, actually, to put myself out there and discover the business community in Zimbabwe.
How challenging was it for you coming from the UK to then go to a market like Zimbabwe?
I am a person who finds opportunities where I come across discomfort. So give me any kind of discomfort, to me, I turn it into opportunity. So when I tried to integrate myself and I was so much adversity, I realized that Zimbabwe needed a change. And a change in the way they look at things, the way they do things. So I said to myself, you know what, this is a big opportunity for us as diasporas to come and introduce change. Change in a lot of the way business is done in Zimbabwe. So that was me looking at myself and I'm saying, I'm the change agent. So through it all, I was fighting the system. And I psyched myself up for that. So I was on radio, I was on TV, I was moaning and shouting at everybody that I came across who was giving the wrong service. So it was actually a mindset. It's not easy if you're just a normal character.
Is that when your company was born, and what did it take for you to set it up? If there are some women listening out there who'd like to do something similar in another field?
It was a find a way, make a way scenario. So I know that, coming from my background, that if you put yourself out there, what will find you is success, because, of course, you've put yourself to say, I'm ready. So because I was ready for that, I was broke, obviously, from finding a way, making a way, and getting money to buy myself food and everything, from putting myself through to the companies and doing all that. I found myself putting myself out to the public on Facebook saying, I'm in Zimbabwe, giving myself a target of 12 months. If you want me to do anything for you, tell me and I could go and do it, but make sure you pay me. That was one statement that I wrote on my Facebook wall. And believe you me, my Facebook inbox was bombarded with messages. We are a one-stop shop. That's how WinFit was born. And we promise transparency and professionalism in whatever we do.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Mrs. Florence Mudoni Chaurura, the founder of WinFit Services, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women.
You're welcome, Marvelous.
I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye. We hope you are going to have a wonderful weekend. And finally today, we are talking to Nkosi Ndlovu, a Zimbabwean living in Britain, who is using music to promote community development in Kai, Matabele North Province.
From deep down the belly of our motherland Africa, it is with great pleasure that I bring you Nkosi Ndlovu and the Experience. Ladies and gentlemen, Nkosi Ndlovu.
Nkosi Ndlovu is a gospel musician born in Nkai Zidulini, Gwelutshena. Grew up in Bulawayo, started singing at a very early age at 13, started professional recording in 2007. So far, I've done three albums. First, Umusa Grace in 2007, followed by Hamba Jona in 2010. And then lately, 2013, my album was called My Journey. We are working on an album which should be out at the end of this year. This album, of course, he sings hymns. This time people have asked me to just sing hymns. All my albums have been doing original compositions, but this time people have been saying, can you do hymns for us? And I'm going to do hymns, purely hymns from Ukrese Hlabelelweni and other popular hymns. My music is on iTunes, my music is also on hard copies. I've started benefiting. I would say that the journey has been very hard. That's why my third album is called My Journey, because of the hard times that I've gone through music. At the moment, that's when I'm beginning to see financial benefits of gospel, but I would say it's been a journey. Yes, I am benefiting financially, and I thank God for that. Gwelutshena Gateway Foundation is a charity that I am leading. It's aimed at developing Kai, starting at Zidulini Primary School. Zidulini is where I did my primary education up to grade 6. And we have given books there and uniforms through the monies that have been donated by the people, channeling them to Zidulini. We are trying to build a library there, an arts and music center there, so that kids who don't do well at school can do guitars and instruments and be musicians and other artists in life if they have failed to make it academically. That's what we are trying to do through the monies that I get from connections, through people who love my music and who love what I'm doing for Kai. I think in life, generally, not taking a risk is actually more riskier than taking a risk. I am going next month full-time as a musician. I haven't seen fully financial the benefits of music, but I feel that if I give the energy to my music, my calling that God has given me, the same way I'm doing to nursing, that is just a job I'm doing to pay rent, I think I will make a living out of it. I'm going to Zimbabwe next month to do 5 shows in Nkai, in Bulawayo, in Vic Falls, in Harare and Mutare. I'm hitting the ground running as Zimbabwe to launch my career as a gospel musician. And I promise people that we will hit the ground running with a full band. For the first time in Nkai, people will see a full band of their own. It's a place where people joke and say, "Komnyambambile," meaning that it's where darkness abides. We want to change that. Unless we, people who are born in Kai, change that and invest in education and arts, it won't change. It will always remain Gwelutshena and Kai, the darkest part of Zimbabwe. But I am going there through God's grace to change that. God wants me to do music more than I do nursing now. I've seen light at the end of the tunnel that people will support me.
Now to recap today's top stories. The Harare City Council is looking for farms near Zimbabwe's capital to resettle hundreds of people who have been displaced following the demolition of illegal housing structures. And the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species says it is intensifying the conservation of wild animals as poachers continue wreaking havoc in most countries. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gande. This is Gibbs Dube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.